Church, and welcome to Sunday Socials Church Online. And yes, it is still 2020. Now, many jokes and banter and memes have done the round, and most of them are pretty funny about this year and what the world has gone through. It is a time of shaking, but we as a church have a promise for new life that will come, and we're thankful for that. And all of this being said, we also acknowledge that there's some people that have suffered great loss, have lost loved ones, and economically lost employment and income, and much other things that they might have suffered in this year, including a bunch of people in our church community. And so life is not always easy, and especially this year, I think life has been pretty tough. It is like being in the waters, in the waves, and being hit by one wave after the other. And so we need to be careful that even, I guess, in our humor, which I love, that pessimism and negativity might just creep in. And so when we look to next year, when we start planning for next year, where's our heart? Where's our faith and where's our hope? Or is there a slight bit of pessimism that we might be holding on to? And we need to be careful and take that to the Lord so that we can be a people of truth, faith, and true hope. And so even 2 weeks ago, I had a breakthrough in a certain area of my life. I was really thankful for God because I had trusted Him for this particular breakthrough for quite a while. It's a particular transaction. Yet, on Tuesday morning this week, I received a WhatsApp that the transaction will not be going through. And even though it seems like a menial, typical worldly thing, it really got to me. It was just as if another wave hit my life, and I felt quite down, even slight bit depressed about it, which is not usually my way of thinking and where my emotions should be. I in fact just wanted to lie down and not get up again type of thing. But I had to wrestle through that. I needed to trust God to come and show me why did this thing that is not that massive deal touch my life to such a big degree. And the Holy Spirit just convicted me to be thankful. And in that moment, even though it was the last thing on earth that I wanted to do, I started to confess thankfulness towards God about the things that I do have in my life, the things that have gone right this year, the things that we do have in our family and our church community. And as I started to do that, life, so to speak, returned to my heart. Life returned to my spirit, man. And that wet blanket, that heaviness that got to me just because another bout of disruption and bad news came my way, that blanket, so to speak, was lifted off in that moment. And I realized that in this season and thinking ahead for next year, I believe thankfulness is such a pertinent key and tool of God, a biblical tool that we really need. So let's quickly pray and let's look at thankfulness and make sure that we have the discipline of thankfulness in our lives. Because I believe and remember this, that thankfulness is not merely a reaction. Thankfulness is an action. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you to gather together like this. We thank you for all we have. We thank you for who you are. We thank you not only for who you are, but for who we are in you. Speak to us today. Reveal to us today your heart and empower us by your Spirit. We lay down our lives and we thank you for this moment together. And I pray, Lord, whoever might be struggling with depression, oppression, pessimism, fear, doubt about next year and the season to come, anybody that the enemy is trying to pacify in this time, I pray, Lord, that through your Spirit and through your grace, thanksgiving and a thankful heart, a thankful spirit will arise in them today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, thankfulness is in a tough world where Christ said, in this world you will suffer. Take heart, I've overcome. In such a tough world where suffering and pressure is, thankfulness sometimes even feels counterintuitive. It's not the fondest thing of the flesh to be thankful. But yet Christians are called, and we're going to look at Scripture now, to be thankful and to be a thankful people. Now, let us also say this to each other. You do not have to fake it. You need to be real. God is a real God who knows you inside out. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you are feeling. And so you can be honest with Him. And we're going to break that open just now. But thankfulness is almost counterintuitive. And I would like to add, as I've said, that it is not always a reaction when everything is going right, when the transaction comes through, or when the breakthrough comes, or when you get that job, or when that relationship mends with a friend, or when you get your salary, or when you go on that nice holiday. It's not only then when we need to be thankful, but yet it is in the dark moments where light can come if we are thankful. And so we're going to look at this character fruit, I believe, called thankfulness today, and make sure that we walk in the discipline of that. Now, the scripture that I want you to take home and hold on to is the following in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. It says, "Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray constantly." I love that. "Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And the Amplified says, "Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter what the circumstances." Listen up, guys. No matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, giving thanks or thanksgiving is very simply to be grateful and to express gratitude. Do you know what it feels like when somebody is thankful towards you, one of your children or a friend? And you also know when that emotion comes upon you and you are thankful, really deeply thankful for something. And so we all have experienced that, but here's a command in Scripture. Here's a command to give thanks in every situation. Give thanks in everything. And so that is not always easy. I don't know if you've been there in 2020, but I've not been in that space every single day giving thanks. But yet the Word calls us, and we can be disciplined in doing that, and we'll see how beautifully it works into our lives. Because what we don't want to be, fair weather Christians. You can't be a Christian that is thankful towards the Lord, that prays God only when things are going well. I got that news this week that things didn't go according to my will, my way, and my heart. Or at least not now. But yet, I can't stop thanking God. I can't stop rejoicing and having a hope in my heart when things don't go my way. When another wave hits, I can be honest about it. But I don't need to stay in that space. Why, you might ask? Because I believe thanksgiving and a thankful heart always recalibrates our heart to see God's perspective. Thankfulness and a thanksgiving heart always recalibrates my heart to see God's perspective and to see His view. So before we look at what a thankful heart, a biblical thankful heart really is, I quickly want to lay a foundation. I believe these three elements that I quickly want to foundationally lay down is very important to give context when we look at biblical thankfulness and the discipline of thankfulness being an action and not only a reaction. The first thing is that, hey guys, we've said this to one another, we are in a spiritual war. We are spirit beings made in God's image and likeness. We're not just mere flesh, not just mere humans. We are pilgrims. We're in this world, but not of this world. And we are in a tug of war, a wrestle, a daily spiritual war. And the moment you get born again, receive the Spirit of God, your spirit man obviously comes alive. You find yourself in a war. I'm sorry for the great news, but we need to obviously fight that war with truth, with love, with faith, with the faithfulness of God bedded upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And so there's victory. After the death and resurrection of Christ, there's really victory. But we need to constantly be reminded, like I needed to be reminded on Tuesday when things didn't go according to my will and I felt depressed, that a lot of that might have been the influence, a demonic influence of the enemy. And so even though the emotions in my soul was very, very real, I needed to ask that if my spirit man stands up and if my spirit man is fed with the truth of God, if my heart is conditioned and tuned in again, is that the truth of my situation? Is God seeing this situation the same way that I do? Now in Ephesians 6 verse 12 it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Big words. Bottom line, we fight a spiritual war daily. John 10:10 says that enemy comes, kill, steal and destroy. He wants to depress you and oppress you and take the life, suck the life out of you and your loved ones and the things you touch. Yet Christ came, John 10:10, to give life and life in abundance. We also know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. So I need to come and just realign myself and say, "Lord, what is your perspective? What are you saying in this spiritual war? What has come against me? What is this weapon? What is the lie? This thing didn't happen the way I thought. I see it as a really bad experience, and I was really hoping upon this. But you stand back, God. You've got a better perspective. What are you saying?" And the moment I start seeing the way He sees, and maybe see the enemy that comes with fear, with lies of poverty, with double-mindedness, then I start seeing, yes, God is in control. God is sovereign. And as I lay it down at His feet again, I know that I can win the spiritual wars. And immediately as my spirit man gets strong, my emotions subside. So we don't negate emotions. We don't ignore emotions. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But we are spirit-led, not emotion-led. We are spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led, not emotionally led. That means that the peace I have comes from the inside first. The revelation and the presence of God and His truth on my inside, not what is on my outside. Inside out, faith. Inside out, peace. And now today, inside out, thankfulness. Not firstly based upon the circumstances or another person that is sick or another thing that goes wrong or another bad report in the media or this political storm or that economic lie. No, it starts on my inside. God, what is your perspective? What do you see in the spiritual battle? So the first thing foundationally today is we're in a spiritual battle. Remember that. The second thing, when we think about a foundation for thankfulness, and I've mentioned that this year lots have gone wrong, unfortunately. There's lots of pressure. There is a lot of sin and brokenness in this world. You don't have to go far to see it. But the second point is, we need to acknowledge it. So say for instance, like I had on Tuesday, I get this bad report. Things didn't go my way. This transaction is not proceeding. It's going to get cancelled. What do I do with that? Do I ignore it? And just say, praise the Here and move on with my life. No, I acknowledge the fact that this has happened. If somebody gets sick, is that the Lord's perfect will? Absolutely not. But we can acknowledge it. We don't ignore it. We're not ignorant of a fact. We're not ignorant of a problem. We don't ignore it. We can acknowledge it. But here's the big thing. We don't camp there. If somebody loses a loved one, if somebody gets sick, if they break into your car, if you lose your job, we don't ignore the fact. We acknowledge it. But we're definitely not going to camp there. We are not going to stay there. God is seeing so much more than what we are seeing in that moment. And in the Lord, there is still hope. So yes, we still acknowledge if something sucks. We don't say 2020 was the best and easiest year for all of us. No, we can acknowledge it. But it's not going to define us. 2020 will not define 2021. Neither will it define the next decade or the next 100 years. Jesus Christ will, as my Lord, define it. He will, through His Spirit and His Word, decide. But I can acknowledge if something has gone wrong. And so that's the second thing. The third thing is that thankfulness is a decision. It's a choice. It is a choice we can make. It is something that we do not necessarily feel. It's not something that happens on our outside and we're so blessed and, oh yes, now we're thankful. No, it's sometimes something that we decide, a resolve we have on our inside that we decide. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 for today. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And so that command, we obey. And we decide. On Tuesday, I decided. I didn't feel like it. I decided that I'm going to be thankful. And so the Lord just came and he strengthened me again. So these three things are very important foundationally, so that we have good context for thankfulness. It's a spiritual war. We need to acknowledge if something goes wrong. It's okay. It's okay to say it sucks. Remember that it is one thing to acknowledge it, but it's another thing to give it influence. So it's fine to acknowledge a problem, but don't give it influence. Don't give it more influence than it needs to have in your life. No, no. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord to have influence, even though you acknowledge the problem. And then the third thing, it is a decision. It is a decision, 90% of the time, if not more, a decision of your will to say, I choose to be thankful, even though I don't feel it. Because the thing is with emotions, emotions is not a good leader. It is supposed to be a follower. But your spirit man, with your spirit man, you can then decide, I choose to be thankful in spite of the problem, in spite of the waves, in spite of the loss. I choose to. I choose to be thankful towards God. I choose to be thankful for what I have. And then guess what? Your emotions start to follow. So now that we've laid the foundation, set the context for biblical thankfulness, I believe, let's look at five nuggets. Take home things that can help us to be disciplined in thankfulness. A thankful heart needs to be aware of certain things. What is a real Christian thankful heart aware of? The first thing, a thankful heart is aware of God. It is always aware of God. It is not first and foremost aware of the culture, the flesh, the problems, but it is constantly aware of God. The thing on Tuesday that the Lord laid on my heart firstly is, Retief, set your mind on things above and not beneath. Set your mind on things above and not beneath. Be reminded in this moment where you feel, ah, no. Be reminded of who God is. His things that are eternal, his things that is unshakable. Remind yourself of God. A thankful heart is always aware of God. Jesus Christ being the rock. And so a thankful heart has a foundation because it's always aware of God. Psalm 118:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And so a thankful heart is aware of God and has godly perspective. Sees things the way in which God sees them. A thankful heart knows a couple of things. God is good. God is good. Not only if it goes well with me, God is good. God is loving. God is caring. And thirdly, God is God. He is sovereign. So a thankful heart is aware of God and his attributes. And that brings safety and stability. Now we know by now that everything was shaken this year. And what was shakable was clearly evident. Some people freaked out. Some people might still be freaking out. But we are a people in this world, but not of this world. Of an unshakable kingdom. Let's read again in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And so we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, of a God that is unshakable, of a God that is good, and of a God that is loving. So let us not be thrown around and shaken by the things of this world that is carnal and that is temporary. I know it is easier said than done. It is not that easy. But we're going to use these nuggets. We're going to use this foundation. We're going to action thankfulness to be disciplined in thankfulness. To make sure that we have godly perspective. That our hearts are aligned with the Holy Spirit constantly. The second thing that a thankful heart is aware of, it is aware of who I really am. Who am I? What are you building on? Who are you? Biblically speaking, if you believe in Christ and you've received His Spirit, you are a son or a daughter of God. That is unshakable. That is the one thing that cannot be taken away from you for eternity. The enemy cannot take your identity away from you. Are you forever going to be a policeman? No. Are you forever going to be a pastor, a lawyer, a teacher, an accountant, a mother, a father here on earth? No. But yet there's an identity that is unshakable, one that is eternal, one that firstly and foremostly we need to stand upon. Am I saying throw away anything else that defines us? No, not necessarily, but don't make it an idol either. Build upon the rock, build upon the word, build upon that is which is unshakable and eternal. And that will be a good breeding ground for a thankful heart. A thankful heart says, thank you that I'm a son of God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for eternal life. When things go wrong, you don't get the transaction, you don't get the job, you lose your job, you lose even a loved one. It's a good moment to stand still and say, I'm thankful and I'm aware of God still. I'm thankful and I'm aware still that I'm a son or a daughter of God. I've got eternal life. Yes, things might be shaken here. Things might sometimes suck here. But eternally speaking, I'm safe. Eternally speaking, I'm safe. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I can only live this life. That's an unshakable life. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Daily live by faith. Daily live by faith in the Son of God. Not faith in other stuff. Faith in the Son of God. Colossians 3:2-4 says, set your mind on things above and not things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so on Tuesday, when I had a bit of a pity party, thinking, oh, these waves, this tough life and this tough year, and woe is me, the Lord said, hey, Aretief, set your mind on things above and not beneath. Set your mind on things above and not beneath, not the things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden in Christ. You know what? The thing of a dead man is, that's really alive to Christ. A dead man can't suffer and feel sorry for themselves as much as maybe I did in that moment. And so I just had to realize, hey man, lay down your life. Acknowledge, yes, it's real, but deal with it biblically. And become thankful again. Become thankful again of, man, the eternal glory, the eternal grace, the eternal blessing that you already have. What an inheritance. How can these mere earthly things even compare with that? And even as I say this, the faith and the hope just stirs in my heart again. I repent, Lord, for in that moment having my eyes set on the things here on earth and not above. So, a thankful heart is aware of who we really are in Christ. Third thing, a thankful heart is aware of what they already have. And this is very practical. And this you can do at home. I went to, and in preparation, I sat down, I started to try to write down 5 things on a page. Just thanking God for my salvation, thanking Him for Him and for His voice and His Spirit and His Word and my wife and beautiful daughters and an amazing family and my church family. And so I just went on and on and on and on. I just wrote, I think, probably more than 100 to 200 things. I just wrote on that one page, even over one another. Just going and flowing in thankfulness. Thinking that maybe I should quickly try to do this myself, 5 to 10 things. And then I just couldn't stop. Like small and big things, just constantly being thankful and realizing, whoa, getting God perspective. Wow, I'm such a blessed man. I can be so thankful for what I have. And so I want to challenge you to do exactly that. You know what? We are unfortunately in a culture where people are very much entitled. Now, thankfulness is an acknowledgement of God. It speaks of humility. Yet we're in a culture where love has grown cold, hearts have been hardened, and entitlement is rife. In other words, there's very little thankfulness left. Unfortunately. And as you've seen, I've now and again unfortunately stepped into that. But let's not do that. Let's come in the opposite spirit, so to speak, and be a thankful people, acknowledging God, acknowledging our need for Him, but then actually writing down and being thankful daily for what we have. Psalm 100 says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know what? Thanksgiving and praise attracts the presence of God. We enter into his presence when we're thankful, when we acknowledge him, when we acknowledge him again as sovereign and as God, and how big he is, and how small we are, and our problems is in comparison, and how much we need him. And as we do that, the beauty of it is that his presence just fills us. His anointing breaks the yokes. His presence melts the mountains like wax. And so your problems can't stand in the presence of God, but yet you go through a humble door saying, thank you for what I already have. Go and do that. The fourth thing of what a thankful heart is aware of, it is aware of what you don't have yet, but God. That means that sometimes we don't have something yet, and we're really trusting. We're trusting for that healing. We're trusting for that breakthrough. We're trusting for that relationship to mend. We're trusting for that church to be planted, for that person's heart to change and to come to salvation. We're trusting God for so much. We don't see it yet, but we are people of faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. In other words, I by faith start thanking him for what I don't see yet, but it's done in the Lord. Let's look at Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, again, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, saying thank you, present your requests to God. It's saying, God, I trust your promises. God, I trust your word. I trust your scripture. Even though I don't see it yet, I trust you. Thank you. Thank you, it's done. Thank you, it's done. Thank you, it's done. And then we wield the sword of the word. We fight that spiritual battle. We acknowledge here's a problem, but we fight the spiritual battle with the sword of the word. We confess. We choose to come in the opposite spirit. And as we choose, and as we stand, and as we thank him, our emotions follow. And guess what? The breakthrough, or whatever you are trusting him for, comes to pass by faith. And so the fourth thing is, a thankful heart is always aware of what it does not have, but God. And that brings me to the last thing. And a thankful heart always carries hope. In a moment on Tuesday, just as an example again, it was as if I had no hope, which was a lie. My perspective was skew. I couldn't see in the dark. But through thankfulness, I turned in the opposite direction. Through the grace of the Holy Spirit and also the counsel of my wife, I started to be thankful again. The light came on, perspective changed. Then I realized this is not such a big deal, firstly. Secondly, I am heavenly minded and not earthly minded. And joy returned to my heart, including hope and peace. Romans 8:28 says the following. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God lets everything work out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God lets everything work out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So I want to say to you, believer, I want to say to you, church, and I want to say to you, hey, 2020, my God lets everything work out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I declare that I'm thankful for 2020. I declare that I'm thankful for every wave. I declare that I'm thankful for what happened on Tuesday, that the thing didn't work out the way in which I prayed and hoped for. But God, I'm thankful because I know that the Lord will work it out for his good purposes, and that he's a good God, and that his foundation is firm, that his kingdom is unshakable, and that he had grace on me to save my life, and I'm trusting him to save many others. I can truly today stand here with a thankful heart of what I have, but a thankful heart for what I don't have. And I trust, not only for me, but for you, that God will make us a people to action thankfulness daily and have that discipline. So we have the foundation. We're in a spiritual war. We can acknowledge if things suck and go wrong, but we don't camp there. We look to God. We go in the opposite. We then decide. We make a choice. We action to be thankful. And then we trust God for thankful hearts that always and in everything acknowledge Him and His goodness. Acknowledging God in all we do. Acknowledge who we really are in Christ and nothing else. That we'll have a thankful heart, that always are aware of what we have, not of what we do not have. That we will be a people that have faith. Even saying thank you for the things we don't have, standing upon the promises in the Scripture of God. And lastly, that we'll be a people that always carry hope, for the Lord will make everything work out for the good of those who love Him. I trust that you will action thankfulness, not only today, then in your small groups, but that you will trust God to make this a lifestyle, and really trust that He will do that for all of us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that firstly we can come and repent, Lord. Wherever we had an entitled mindset or heart, Lord, wherever we constantly see the negative or the lack or even have become pessimistic about life, Lord, we lay down and we say we're sorry, Lord. It just means that we didn't see you, we didn't see your truth, we didn't see your grace, and we forgot how powerfully and amazing you can work out all things for your children. We now give thanks in all circumstances, in everything to you. Lord, we ask that you will help us to do that through your Holy Spirit. As your word commands us, help us to do that daily. And then thirdly, Lord, help us to go and think and write down what we already have. And then also, by faith, thank you for what is to come. I thank you for new life to come to this church. I thank you that you promised us a new birth and new life. I thank you for that. I action my thankfulness, and I thank you for that by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So go be thankful, and I trust that amazing life will flow from that for you. Have a good week.